Hello, I'm Eric Walenza, founder of IoT One, and this is the Industrial IoT Spotlight. Every episode, I interview one expert about a project that is impacting businesses today. Visit us at IoTOne.com to learn more, or email me to start a discussion. Welcome back to the IoT Spotlight podcast. I'm joined today by JP Proventure from PTC. JP is Vice President of Manufacturing Strategy and Solutions. And in case you're unaware of PTC, first of all, you need to do your research, but let me give a quick overview. PTC is a global provider of technology platforms and solutions that transforms how companies create, operate, and service the things in the Internet of Things. The company's platform, ThingWorks, gives developers the tools that they need to capture, analyze, and capitalize on the data that's being generated by the products and solutions in our factories and our businesses today. JP, what did I miss in your introduction or in PTC's introduction that's important for us to kick off the conversation today?
Hi, Eric. I think you got the key points. So first, thanks for the opportunity to have this conversation this morning. And yes, PTC is a global enterprise software company. We've always been working for the last 30 years with manufacturing companies, more than 27,000 manufacturers, helping them improve the way they design, they manufacture, they service products, and enabling what we call the physical digital convergence. More and more today, manufacturers first design and plan manufacturing operations in the digital world, but with the Internet of Things and the industrial Internet of Things, now manufacturers can also listen to product in real time. And what IoT really enabled here is that close the loop between physical real information from the real world and bringing it back into the digital world with IoT. And that's what we call the physical digital convergence, opening up all new areas of operational performance, especially for manufacturers and factories.
Great. And before we get into the topic for today, can you give me a quick overview on the types of companies? You mentioned that you're working with 20,000 plus businesses. What is, so I suppose there's no typical customer, but give me an example of a company that you might be working with.
Right. So PTC work with global manufacturers and small manufacturers. We work across the spectrum of the different verticals. So we have customers in aerospace and defense, in automotive, both OEMs and tier ones and twos in the automotive supply chain. We have a lot of customers also in medical devices, industrial equipment, electronic and high-tech, and what we would call process industries, so consumer packaged goods, food, beverage, chemical, etc. So we work with pretty much manufacturers in all verticals.
Right. And I know from your traditional businesses are more on the CAD, PLM, ALM, SLM, manufacturing software side. Now you, of course, have ThingWorks, which is one of the leading platforms for the industrial IoT. The topic for today is on operational intelligence and real-time performance visibility in manufacturing. So ThingWorks is obviously playing a central role there. This is it's a big topic, and I think it's a topic where traditional companies, let's say this, there's been a lot of hype about the topic, but also a lot of uncertainty. Now, hopefully, we're moving to a stage where we're starting to understand more granularly what is possible and moving more towards implementation. Talk to me a bit about how you see this space developing. Where are we right now in terms of the hype cycle or in terms of adoption of actual solutions as opposed to pilot projects or executive level kind of strategy discussions around what solutions could be?
That's a great question, Emma, and I'm glad you're asking this question first. The specific approach at PTC is to make IoT a reality. Now, we are a very pragmatic company. We like to propose solutions to manufacturers that can be used today. Now, so when it comes to IoT, of course, there's a lot of hype, but there's probably nobody else other than PTC and ThingWorks out there that have the number of customers that we have that are live with the platform on a daily basis. Just when it comes to factories, specifically applying industrial IoT in the factories, we already have hundreds of factories that are using the solution and live with the solution. And in our case, and we can go deeper into customer case studies here, but for the audience listening to the podcast, IoT with us means that we can put a factory live with an IoT platform within typically a 6 weeks time frame. So factory of the future with an IoT platform that is ready to use is actually factory of next month. We can put IoT live in a factory within 6 weeks.
So I was talking with a company, I won't mention their name, but a company a couple weeks ago, and they were looking at entering into China with an IoT analytics platform focusing on high-value assets on turbines. One of their concerns was, are there target customers in China who would be state-owned or very large enterprises, are they data-ready? Do they have the capability? Are they collecting the data, organizing it sufficiently well to actually utilize the analytics platform that they want to bring to market here? So you say you can bring a company to kind of a factory of a future situation, or you can onboard an IoT platform within 6 weeks. What current capabilities does the manufacturer have to have in place in order to use ThingWorks effectively?
Great question. First on the data, the factory, the shop floor, the manufacturing shop floor in a company is probably the area in a manufacturing company where they already have all the required data. There's no lack of data. Lack of data is never an issue in manufacturing operations. Most manufacturers already have a lot of systems in place and HMI and SCADA and assets generating a lot of data. The challenge in manufacturing is that the environment typically is highly heterogeneous and complex. We have all sorts of assets from different vendors. We have all sorts of systems in place. And even when we discuss with a global manufacturer who is producing the same product in three different plants, let's say one in Asia, one in Europe, one in US, even for the same product, they won't have exactly the same machines, but they have a lot of data. So the first step we typically recommend to our customer and what we see our customers doing is first connecting to all the data sources in their factory. And analytics is obviously a key use case in the IoT world, in industrial Internet of Things. A lot of customers want to do predictive maintenance and so on, but typically the first step is gaining real-time visibility and real-time issue identification, leveraging the data they already have. And that step can be enabled pretty quickly. In the PTC technology, what we call ThingWorks. So ThingWorks is our brand for the complete industrial Internet of Things platform that we have. And the first layer in our ThingWorks IoT platform is what we call ThingWorks Industrial Connectivity. That includes two elements. First, it includes the ability to connect to all business systems. PTC has been in the business of enterprise software for the last 30 years, so we know how to integrate to ERP, MES, EAM, all those enterprise systems. And what we have at that layer also is industrial connectivity to industrial assets. We acquired a year ago a company called Kepware. And what Kepware is, it's a library of more than 150 industrial protocols that can talk either proprietary protocols from Allen Bradley and those proprietary protocols, as well as industry protocols on the shop floor, such as OPC, UA, and the likes. So basically what it means is when we come with the platform, with ThingWorks in a factory, within a couple of days, we can basically unlock all the data from both machines and systems. And a first step typically is to provide real-time visibility into operational performance on the shop floor. So managers, quality, maintenance no longer rely on a report on a Tuesday morning that tells you everything that went wrong on Monday, but they see it in real time right away in role-based dashboards. Once that is done, then customers can go to predictive analytics and add to this real-time data furthermore insight and leveraging machine learning and those tools to transform some of the insights into predictions.
Great. And I want to get into a specific case, but before I go there, so up to this point, PTC is providing a lot of the technology in order to connect the data sources, in order to provide the visibility into the data sources. Once you start getting into the more specific analytics solutions, I'm sure that PTC also has solutions in that space, but then we start getting into industry verticals, and there are probably other companies, small companies, larger companies that have expertise and are developing algorithms for specific use cases. To what extent is ThingWorks also a platform to enable third-party companies to provide analytics? Is this something where you're primarily trying to do the next stage analytics yourself and be more vertically oriented, or do you see this more as a horizontal platform where you can be, to an extent, a marketplace or a channel for third-party software providers to also provide analytics solutions to your customers?
We are an horizontal platform, and we agree and we believe that IoT is a team sport. So partnerships are key to our strategy. In the platform itself, we believe we have all the components so a customer gets started with everything they need. So we have industrial connectivity. Yes, we have analytics tool also. That layer, we call it ThingWorks Analytics. In the platform also, we have a layer for application enablement. So our approach there is that we should not need IT developers every time we want to put in place a new IoT use case in a factory. So our focus at that level is to enable the what we call the citizen developer. So once we have the connection in place, subject matter experts and different business people in the company should be able, at a manufacturer, should be able to create new IoT applications. And then A further differentiation from our platform also is augmented reality. So we believe that in the IoT world, there is going to be more and more data that different people need to interact with. And augmented reality is just the best way to interact with the data. So you can overlay graphical, compelling data on top directly of the visual world you're looking at, either through an iPad camera or through wearables. So augmented reality is also part of the platform as a way to deliver the information for the use cases that make sense. And then in addition to that, what we have is a fifth element that we call the ThingWorks Marketplace, actually. So we have more than 100 partners today that are building either connections to their own solutions or additional widgets and capabilities for the ThingWorks platform that customers can download. So even though we believe that we have the most complete platform, if a customer wants to use some other company's analytics tool, then there's definitely the way to do it. You just unplug the ThingWorks analytics or decide not to use it, and then you plug the analytics solution you want to use from another company. And we have, by the way, the same approach when it comes to data source. So with PTC ThingWorks, the idea is not to create a big data lake or another big database for data. We believe and we agree that customers already have their data. Their data is likely already in some repositories. All manufacturers and their factories have historians in place, or have MES, or have a lot of systems. So what we do first and foremost is connect to these data sources. And when it comes to analytics, of course, now we need to capture more data. So then there's the option to either store it directly in ThingWorks or store it in whatever database the customer will decide to use. So we're compatible with SAP HANA. We have customers, and we've announced that we'll be compatible with GPredix if that's the data source that a customer wants to use, or we're compatible also with Azure and Amazon Web Services. So to your question, partnerships are key, and partnerships apply to both solutions that are complementary that can be plugged into ThingWorks, but partnerships also apply to where the data is. So we make sure that the IoT platform does not transform into a data storage story where we need to move data all around. Let's keep the data where it is, and let's transform the data into insight and business value.
Great. Thanks. I think that's a great overview on what an IoT platform is, how it provides value. Let's look now more into a specific customer case. If we can begin by looking at what is the customer's goal? What are the specific pain points or opportunities that incentivize them to look at an IoT platform? And I'd also like your overview of the decision process, because I think a lot of companies right now are in the process of evaluating platforms, deciding does this make sense for us? And it's not a simple process at all, right? Because evaluating what's different between two platforms is it's a new job for procurement managers. It's certainly a new job for more senior decision makers. There's a lot of stakeholders involved from different functions. And it's a long-term investment, so to speak, in terms of investing in a partner. So can you lay out what is the case we're talking about, and then what was the decision process that led to the decision to begin working with ThingWorks?
Sure. So let me use one customer example that represents what we see happening the most in the market in terms of the way they buy, the way they deploy, and their mindset and the business objectives they have in mind. So I'm going to use Heritech. They are a $1.6 billion automotive tier one manufacturer. They are headquartered out of Asia, but have factories in Asia, Europe, and US. So they represent the type of global manufacturers that we work with. And the way we've worked with Heritech and the way Heritech went through their decision process and the deployment is very well aligned with what we recommend and what we see customers wanting to do right now. And it starts with the fact that if you think about how we've deployed technology and software, especially in manufacturing and factory over the last years, if not decades, it's typically a big upfront enterprise purchase, and then you need to roll it out through multiple phases and multi-years. And clearly, there's no more appetite for those big disruptive multi-year projects in manufacturing. And so what Heritech was looking for is to evaluate what's the business value that a industrial IoT platform could bring to their business. In their case, the key challenge is operational downtime. So they wanted to see and validate whether an industrial IoT platform could help them get the visibility and especially the real-time and predictive visibility they need in order to reduce operational downtime. But to your point, they were not sure what was the state of the technology, what's available, and how ready is it to deploy in a real factory. So they took a very interesting approach. Of course, they did their own work. So they went through an evaluation of all the vendors. They ultimately selected PTC and specifically the ThingWorks and the Kepware portion of the platform. And what they committed to internally at Heritech is that they committed to a 6 weeks implementation project. So they told their executive, we found a solution that we believe has the speed of deployment and the flexibility we need in order to verify and validate very quickly that IoT not only is ready, but IoT can deliver the value we're looking for. And so they committed to a 6 weeks agile deployment process where between the time they buy, download, and install, 6 weeks later, they would be live with real-time visibility into a fleet of NC machines in one of their factory. And they were like this able to prove that, yes, the data is already there. Yes, we can connect to industrial equipment and extract the data. And yes, there's a way to make that data meaningful, compelling, and valuable into role-based specific apps so people can see exactly what's happening in real time. And that is very well aligned with what we see happening in the market today, especially with manufacturing executive. So an IoT platform such as ThingWorks that connects to what you already have and brings you additional business insight from the data you already have is a way to get started very quickly on IoT and get started in a way that does not make it mandatory for you to change any systems or any assets. And typically from there, what we see is that customers will go first with a use case, then they'll add a couple more use cases, and then they will deploy to more factories. And we already have a lot of our customers who went through that cycle. So did a first pilot, did a couple more, rolled it out to a second site, and now they have rolled out the platform into 15 factories, 25 factories, 75 factories.
Gotcha. I think that's absolutely the right way to be approaching this. It's very much a learning process. And then, of course, during the learning process, risk needs to be managed. What are you finding from the in the decision process? Who is driving the decisions? Are we still seeing these investments being primarily driven from the C-suite, or are we seeing them originating in maintenance departments, in production, in R&D, at the GM level or at the director VP level? Where are you seeing these initiate, and then who is driving these projects forward?
IoT is definitely a C-suite conversation in manufacturing companies, and industrial Internet of Things is transforming a lot more than only the factory. So even with customers where we start a conversation in manufacturing, very often we'll have a conversation also with the engineering group and with the service group. And very quickly, if you think of all the IoT use cases for a company on the engineering side, if you can remotely connect and communicate with your products, that helps engineering really understand what's happening for real in the field from their product. So it helps them improve understanding of the real usage of their product. On the service side, also, a lot of manufacturers are embedding IoT platforms, or what we call the agent, in their product, so they can also keep in constant communication with their product even after they left the factory. So they can do remote service, remote diagnostic, remote software updates, and so on. So that's typically also a conversation with the service executive. But if we come back to the factory, IoT is generating the highest business value in the shortest time frame in the factory, because again, this is where the company is the most IoT ready. Now, when it comes to budget and decision process, in the factory, it typically involves the maintenance group. Maintenance typically have a budget, and a lot of the maintenance team out there are looking for a way to go away from reactive maintenance and get more into the world of condition-based and even predictive maintenance. So we typically have the maintenance team around the table. But IoT is also about, again, connecting to what you already have in your factory, so you can gain more visibility and you can go after that next leap in operational performance. And that conversation typically is with production management, plant managers, and manufacturing executives. And then third group of use cases is productivity. So with an IoT platform, we can improve safety. We can improve user productivity. We can digitize the shop floor and help everything be more coordinated in real time. And that conversation then typically involves not only the manufacturing people, but also IT and OT. It's always very interesting to have the OT folks, the people responsible for automation, SCADA, HMI, be at the same table than the IT people. If you look at the traditional software stack in a factory, but with an IoT platform, that's one of the first steps that we do. We just remove that wall between OT and IT, and we mash up the machine data and the business system data into one platform and into common apps.
Absolutely. So it's certainly data where the value is. Let's dig a little bit more into the topic of data, and specifically data ownership. So there's certainly internally different stakeholders, different functions, IT, OT engineers that have to sit at the table. There's also third parties. So there's obviously PTC, which is providing the software. There are OEMs that are providing the equipment in the manufacturing environment. And then, of course, there's the end user. There might also be other companies that are involved in in managing the data. How is data ownership in these situations structured today? Because multiple stakeholders would certainly find value in the data. I was talking with a company that was serving both Pepsi and Coca-Cola, and they said, we would like to have the data back from your machines. We can bring it back into our product development cycle. We can give you a better solution. We can help you to improve your operations. And neither Pepsi nor Coke would share the data with them because they were both concerned that they would then lose control, that this data would somehow find its way over to a competitor and reveal some of their operational secrets. So how is data ownership and accessibility managed in this system?
The first thing I'd say is that when it comes to monitoring asset and putting an IoT platform in place, you just mentioned it, there are two different perspectives. You can either be the operator or of the assets, or you're the Coca-Cola and you're the Pepsi, or you're the plant manager, or you are the machine builder. You are the manufacturers of the equipment selling it to an operator. And we believe that the data conversation is actually very simple when you are on the operator side. And that's where we see a lot of traction and a lot of interest from customers today. When you are an operator, when you're Pepsi and when you're Coca-Cola, one thing I'd like to make sure that the audience understand here on the podcast, if you are a plant manager, if you own a factory, you already have a lot of assets, probably from 15, 20, 25 different vendors. So you bought some from Tetra Pak, you bought some from ABB, from Rockwell, from Siemens, from GE, et cetera. And those equipment generate a lot of data. Of course, the machine builder will recommend and propose to provide higher level of reliability if they can get to the access to the data remotely. But the first step we say for plant managers and for operation people is to actually use the data themselves. And as a operator and as a plant manager, when it's your own equipment, the equipment you already have in your factory, then there's no data issue. It's your equipment, it's your data. And the way we deploy the industrial IoT platform also is on premises. So from that perspective, we also make it simpler for plant operators in the sense that they do not need to think about the fact that the data will leave the factory, go in the cloud, and then come back in order to have some predictive analytics applied to it. With the ThingWorx approach, with the PTC approach, we believe that especially for operations, data should be at the edge, should be close to operations. So we typically deploy directly on premises. Customers can deploy in the cloud if they decide to do so. But if they do not want to use cloud and just want to do it on premises, then that solves all the concern they can have around the data ownership and data security.
Got you. And are you seeing more situations now where an equipment manufacturer will bundle analytics software in their solution and sell this on to a producer with a contractual right to access the data from that equipment? I've certainly talked to some companies that are exploring or starting to include this as an option, as a value-added service. And then I believe in those situations, the issue of data ownership and data access becomes a little bit more confused because the equipment provider is basically bundling, you could say, enabled IT-enabled hardware with the contractual right or the expectation of being able to access that data.
Yes, and again, we support both use cases. So if you are the operator and you're the plant manager, your concern and your focus is typically improving operational performance. And in order to do that, you want access to all the machine data, which is not an issue because you're operating the equipment, so you can pull all that data. But then as an operator, you want to combine the machine data with the process execution data, with ERP, MES, quality data, et cetera. And like I was describing, since all of this can be done on premises, then it's a very easy task that we can enable in a couple of weeks for manufacturers. Now, if you're the machine builder on the other side, then the value prop and the business objective are different. What machine builders are after is improving customer satisfaction and adding value-added services to their offering. So typically they will, propose an analytics solution in addition to their equipment as added value services and typically as an option. In order to do that, they need access, obviously, to the machine data. And ultimately, what machine builders want to propose to manufacturers and what manufacturers are ultimately interested in is not to sell an equipment, but to sell an outcome. So sell it by sell it as a service. Think of a power by the hour type of contract that airliners, for example, have with jet engines. So they pay by the hour instead of buying the engine on a shop floor. I'm going to sell you widget. I'm going to sell you production capacity itself. And in order to do that, then as a machine builder, I'm going to ask for the ability to remotely monitor and remotely improve and remotely optimize the equipment. Those are use cases that we can enable today, but those are more use cases that are specific and self-contained and limited in the sense that as an operator or as a plant manager today, I cannot transform the 20 different equipments that I have from 20 vendors into 20 of those type of contracts from day one. But what I can do is gain real-time visibility into everything as an operator. And then I can work with one or two of the machine builder for my most mission-critical equipment and see with that machine builder, how can they really improve reliability? How can they really improve uptime? And how can they really optimize the throughput I'm going to get from their equipment if I give them access remotely to the data? And just one more last point on the data. I know that's typically a conversation that we tend to transform into a very complex conversation, but what we have to remind ourselves is that manufacturers, especially global manufacturers, have been in the business of sharing data with suppliers for a long time now. So there are people in manufacturing companies that are used to set up contracts with suppliers and with customers that define the level of data that will be available for quality assurance, et cetera. So it's not that we don't know how to do it. It's just that people sometimes believe that it's going to be way more complex with IoT because it's real time. As soon as we have the right contract in place that specifies what the machine builder will have access to, and that's typically machine data, as soon as that contract is in place, the technology today allows manufacturers to get access remotely to data from equipment. So data is, it's an important conversation. It's an important asset. Of course, in the IoT world, we're talking about monetizing data, et cetera, et cetera. But today, in terms of first use case, one thing I'd like people to take away is that if you're the plant manager or the operator, there's no data issue. It's all your data. The main problem is to bring all the data into one platform. That's what we do. And then if you are the machine builder on the other side, the technology allows you to do it. The one thing you need in place is just a good contract between OEM and supplier, like we already do for the automotive supply chain and all the supply chains that are in place out there.
Great. Yeah, very clear and great point that these are not step change, new challenges that are being addressed. It's just that they're somewhat more more common and somewhat more important because there is more data and the data is more impactful to an extent, but it can certainly be addressed with the resources and often with the contractual tools that companies have already been using. Let's wrap up with a quick discussion of some of the challenges that you've seen. You've implemented ThingsWorks in a lot of companies. We certainly don't need to mention any companies, but I'm sure some of the implementations have gone better than others. In the cases where the result was suboptimal, what tends to be the challenge? And I ask this so that companies that are considering implementing IoT platforms can consider upfront or can be somewhat more aware of what challenges to expect. So are we talking about alignment between functions? Are we talking about management of security, privacy, liability, about having the right skill sets to implement or to operate the system? When you've seen suboptimal results, what tended to be the cause, and what can companies do in advance to help to ensure that they are going to be a success case?
That's a good question. And I would say that the main challenge we have with industrial IoT is not the technology itself. It's more the fact that the use cases are so broad, are so vast, and there are so many things we can do with IoT that very often when we start a conversation with a team on the manufacturer side, the challenge is where should we start? Because there's all these things that we've heard about, and there's all those use cases that we know we can enable. So we're just not sure where to start, and it seems to be a big daunting project. So our recommendation there is let's identify first a use case, and let's target to go live very quickly. If I would quote Justin Easter, our lead guy from Aerotech, in presentations and when he's presenting at our conferences, he talk about the fact that the first thing you should do with your teams is to make IoT real in the factory, and especially with factory people that are very concrete. They want to know exactly what the technology is and what it's going to deliver. And the base fact is that you just don't know what you don't know until you see it. And you don't really understand what you need until you see the data and until you see how easy it is to put machine data and business data into one dashboard. So our recommendation would be instead of trying to define a multi-year, multi-phase project where you try to identify all the different use cases that ultimately you'll want to deploy, let's start first with putting it in place and going over skepticism of people that might think that it's actually not applicable today and not working now. And the first use case, or the initial use case that we typically recommend and we see a lot of customers doing, are primarily in two areas. One is in the area of real-time visibility into operational performance. So typically connecting to equipments that are already producing, unlocking that data and combining the data with business systems. And more importantly, making that data available to the different people in the factory in the way they need it. So simplifying the data in role-based application to make it compelling. So operators, quality, maintenance, managers have access to the data they care about and the data that is meaningful to them. And again, typically that's a couple weeks project. And once that's in place, then it clarifies all the conversation with the executive. Another area where customers start is in the area of predictive analytics, so predictive maintenance. And in that case, it's not about connecting multiple equipment, but it's about connecting deeper into one equipment in particular, and then using machine learning to identify what are the failure cause and identify correlation to machine data so we can better understand how to improve the equipment.
Great. So almost applying lean startup methodology to the manufacturing process to an extent of the process of testing, assessing results, iterating, and then through that cycle, learning and optimizing your use of the technology. I think that's great advice. Last question for you, JP. Who would you like to get in touch with, and how can they learn more about PTC, more about ThingWorx, more about yourself, and how can they get in touch with you?
So you can go to ptc.com. Or you can ping me directly on LinkedIn. You'll find out my name pretty easily, Jean-Philippe Proventure or JP Proventure on LinkedIn. And the people we work with are either on the operation side, so plant managers, innovation team, OT, IT team, predictive maintenance, etc., or on the machine builder side. So we work with both types of manufacturers.
Great. That'll be a last thought. JP, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Industrial IoT Spotlight. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at IoT1HQ and to check out our database of case studies on IoT1.com. We help to accelerate digital transformation by advising business leaders on how to integrate IoT technologies into their operations and products. We appreciate your thoughts, suggestions, and of course your reviews. And if you have an interesting project, we'd love to feature you on a future edition. You can write me at eric.walenza@iot1.com.